The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to the Sunday card at Navan. It is a brilliant card on Sunday as well. We've got the Troy Town Handicap Chase coming up at 2:25 as the feature contest. But some really competitive stuff, some potentially very classy horses in action, and hopefully we can grab a few winners for you here. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
How are you doing?
Good, yeah, good. Just digesting yesterday's stuff, and now as soon as we've had one brilliant day, we get another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Irish Raiders coming over to England yesterday, a few of them. Annie Power was pretty impressive, actually, at Ascot, because I must confess, I was quite a Zakandar fan yesterday. But Willie Mullins, he's got her in great nick, and she looks like she could go quite a long way this season.
Yeah, I think she'll take top rank in whatever races she runs in. It's a dilemma for William Mullins, isn't it? You know, that race is usually a stepping stone for champion hurdle horses. And I think he has brought her over early on in the season to find out where he stands with her. Right, do we go down that route or do we go elsewhere? Because obviously he's got Hurricane Fly in the same stable, of course. He's... days are numbered, so to speak. So, you know, he's got to look down the ranks for fresh new talent. And Annie Power certainly looks as though she's a worthy contender on the evidence of that, because Arcander's no back number. And, you know, he was a good 4 or 5 lengths clear of her throughout that race with a fairly uncontested, unpestered lead. And she managed to gun him down and win going away. So my gut reaction is always I think she's going to be better over 2.5 miles than two. But as there is no 2.5 mile championship race at Cheltenham, that gives William Mullins a bit of a dilemma.
Hmm. Okay. What did you make of Q-Card's win?
Absolutely astonished, if I'm being honest. He's just one of those horses, A, I can never get right, and B, I haven't really warmed to, which I should have done. I suppose it's going back to the early days of me actually not making a fortune out of him in the champion bumper when I should have done that day, because he'd done a good time when he won at Fontwell on his seasonal reappearance, and I only chucked a few quid at him, but I should have probably had more on him, and I think that's the last time I've ever backed him. I just keep missing him, or just don't really rate him as others have done. And even his win last year in the festival, I was still unconvinced because I thought others didn't run their races, and I thought 3-mile-1 might stretch him against pure stamina horses, and he didn't get home in last year's King George, and yet, you know, he's turned in the performance of his life and beat everything fair and square. So I think I'll have to recalculate my sums with that horse.
Certainly, the best horse on the day, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. No excuses for any of the others. They all had their chance and jumped well. There was no real major errors or incidents that cost horses races, and it looked a clean run race. I've already done the time. It was a very good one. I think I need to, like I say, start taking a bit more seriously.
Right, okay then. We'll kick on with Sunday's Irish action at Navan. We'll start with the 12:25. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. The market's focusing on two of them here. Moyle Park for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, who, of course, were on fire last weekend. And Wrath of Titans for Desi Hughes and Davy Russell. How would you play this one?
Yeah, that's the key question. It's how will I play this race, not necessarily what do I think will win. As the market suggests, I think Moore Park is the most likely winner. He's already beaten his main market rival, Wrath of Titans, in a desperate finish to the Land Rover final last year at the Punchestown Festival. It was the race that was very much like as an afterthought for Willie Mullins, because he was he was due to go to Cheltenham, wasn't he? Since he won at Leopardstown, I think he changed ownership as well. I think that Rich Ritchie obviously bought this horse on the advice of many others, and he proved that purchase to be very much vindicated with a gutsy win. It was a game win. It wasn't anything that suggests this horse is going to be an absolute superstar. But the one thing he did do is knuckle down to the task, and you know, he saw out the trip really well when Wrath of Titans came at him. This looks a fairly weakish, uncompetitive race. Numbers rather mask the actual kind of competitiveness of it. And I think he's going to be a nice horse this season, but whether he's, like I say, going to be top rank, I'm not so sure. And the way I'd play this race would be back the second favourite each way. I often do this in these kind of circumstances. I'm prepared to take the small hit if he does finish in the first three, which I expect him to do. And he's already had a run as well, Wrath of Titans. Of course, he won that bumper down in Thurles the other day. A track that, to be fair, wouldn't really suit him. It's a really sharp track, Thurles, and he probably wasn't made to look as impressive as he might have been. He was only ridden out hands and heels as well, so I think there's more to come. And, you know, if he's ever going to beat Moore Park, I think today's the day. First time up over hurdles in a race where it could be tactical. I'll go for Wrath of Titans, like I say, only each way, just because that's the way I'd play these races in general.
Okay then, race number two on the card is the 12:55. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Not the strongest contest on the card this, Andy, but Go Paddy Go seems pretty solid at the head of affairs.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the word I'd use. Just a solid, you know, mid 0 to 110 handicapper that gets the job done. He's in good form. Hard to knock any of his last four runs. Comes out well on the figures. Stayed on very strongly the day to win in Clonmel. He beat a horse who went into that race in good form called Famous Ballerina. And, you know, he certainly deserved that win because he'd been there or thereabouts in similar contests previous to that. And you look at the opposition today, you think, well, Court Frontier is one of those sexy ones that could be well handicapped. But I didn't think he showed enough the other day down in Cork to suggest he could be, you know, an absolute shoe-in here off a mark of 100. Firethorn on a line through Famous Ballerina has got a bit to find with Go Paddy Go. And then you're really scraping the barrel. You've got horses like De Glebe Star, who, to be fair, did run quite well here the last day at Navan, but that was over 2.7 miles, and he does look as though he wants a trip. You know, all his best form's over 2.5 plus, so dropping back to the minimum might be a bit of a struggle for him. Do keep an eye on the market for Dennis Hogan's Zakara, who was only a 12-1 chance of the day and a much better race than this down in Limerick, but he got beat 66 lengths. I'm sure that wasn't his running, but it's hard to really make a clear-cut case out of him unless the money comes for him. So really, we're not left with a lot. It is such a weak race that I thought, well, there's got to be something each way I can take the favourite on with, and then I come to the conclusion that if it, you know, looks like a duck, walks like a duck, then it is a duck. So I'm going to go with Go Paddy Go.
Okay then, Go Paddy Go the pick there in the second contest at 12:55. The third race comes up at 1:25. It's the Monksfield Novice Hurdle. A grade two contest over 2.5 miles. And what a cracking little contest this is, Andy. 8 runners go to post at the time of recording. Fingers crossed we can keep all 8. Azorian heads the market as we speak. But, I mean, there's every possible angle into this race that you could explore. I mean, you've got 3 runners for Gigginstown, Noel Mead represented, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh team up. You've got a runner over hurdles for Aidan O'Brien with AP McCoy on board. Mrs. McVeal has been in great form, although this should be a little bit too difficult. And Lots of Memories is a horse that I know you like, but obviously carries a penalty here today. So where should we start with this one?
I'm a massive fan of Lots of Memories. I'm absolutely astonished that this horse is the price he is this morning. 11-2, 6-1 if you shop around. I mean, I just can't have this horse not in the frame. And look at his career record. Never out of the frame in 10 starts. And arguably, he should have been unbeaten, really, this season so far. I mean, that race at Limerick when he got beat by Inder Van was an absolute joke. They were at no pace whatsoever. And to be fair, Shane Butler had a chance to ride that race again. He would have made more use of Peter Farr, his 6-year-old. And I napped Lots of Memories to turn the form around next time out in Cork, and he did exactly what I thought he would do. Inder Van was well beaten on that occasion. I would suggest that Lots of Memories ideally would want slightly softer ground than what he's going to encounter this afternoon, but you know, there are showers around, and yielding to soft in place, good to yielding in places. He's certainly better than the ground than he raced on a Limerick. That was really quick that day. He won in a fast time the time before in Listowel, where he beat a good field. That race assembled all the best autumn stroke summer jumping horses that we'd seen. And when he ran last time out at Cork, and he beat those decent animals. On the same card, Azorian ran in a 2.5 mile maiden hurdle. Now, I clocked both of these two on the circuit, and lots of memories would have beaten Azorian by 15 lengths. So I'm amazed that Azorian is just so short as he is, and lots of memories as big as he is. So I'm going to offer up lots of memories at a price and suggest we back him each way. Looking elsewhere at a very, very big price, do keep an eye on Cole Murphy's Empire of Dirt, who only won a maiden hurdle down in Punchestown, but he did beat Sebuane, who's subsequently gone on to win in Dundalk the other night, and he just looked a little bit to the left. I just felt as though he didn't want to be racing right-handed. He's going left-handed today, which should suit him. He's up in trip, which also will play to his strengths. He's by Western out of a Roselier mare, so I think whatever he does in future, he's going to be better over 3 miles. But don't dismiss this horse. He's a strong galloper, and he did a fast time that day at Punchestown. And he comes out quite well on my figure. So at 16-1, I'd probably have to have a few quid on him as well. But the number one choice has to be Lots of Memories. I think he's an unbelievable price.
Okay, then, Lots of Memories in the 125. The 155 is a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Interesting contest, this. Bally Casey and Ned Buntline are the two that are sort of not vying for favouritism, but the two that the market are interested in. We're 12-1 at the time of recording, bar those two. Are you focusing on those two here, Andy, or do you think you've got some savage each way value?
No, I don't think I have, no. You know, barring accidents, these two should be fighting at the finish. I just hope they do get round and they give us a good race, because we have two very different kind of animals here. And arguably, this trip 2 mile 1 should suit, in theory, Ned Buntline more than Bally Casey, because Bally Casey sensibly looks at least a 3 miler. That was certainly the route that William Munnings looked to be going down when he was, I think, around about second or third favourite for the Albert Barlett until he had to miss that race through a setback. And he went to Punchestown over 3 miles in that Grade 1, and he ran quite well behind Stabber Companion in the Shireland and Morning Assembly, who's won a couple of novice chases already so far this season. So if Willie Mullins last season thought he was a 3 miler, it is quite a shock to see him starting over 2 miles. Now, I know Champagne Fever did that the other day, but he's probably got more speed than Bally Casey. And Ned Buntline's, you know, he's a strong traveller. He reminds me of several that Willie Mullins, Noel Meade's had through his hands, you know, in recent times. He's not quite as classy as a Archibald or a Monksland, but he does have a good cruising speed, and he has got a lot of natural pace, and he always catches the eye in his races. And that ground at Punchestown on his last start wouldn't have been anywhere near as what he wanted. He's very much, for me, only want to be running on soft ground at worst. He did actually have a stress crack on his cannon bone in that race at Punchestown, which prevented him running his race, and that's why he hasn't been seen out since. But his maiden hurdle win was a good one. He beat good horses in the shape of Rhino and Grey Monk. And I know that Noel Meade thinks that this is one of the most exciting horses he's ever had in his hands. So with McCoy coming over and taking the ride today, I'd expect big things today in Ned Buntline. At the prices, I think if he stays on his feet, he could just outpace Bally Casey today. This is the only chance he'll ever get a probably beaten horse like that. So let's go with Ned Buntline.
OK, then, Ned Buntline in the 155. The 225 is race number 5 on the card and is the feature contest, the Troy Town Handicap Chase, a Grade B contest over 3 miles. Wonderfully open, this, Andy. A lot of lovely chases to get your teeth stuck into here. My only concern would be that a few of these, maybe that this isn't the target, if you like, this season. But for others, it certainly is. And where should we start here?
Well, we'll start by saying I think Tom Segal's absolutely hit the nail on the head with the two horses he put up this morning at the prices. I do like Mad Brian. I've always been a fan of this horse. I've tipped him numerous times on podcasts. And I remember one day I tipped him at Punchestown, and I couldn't believe how badly he ran. I think that was the only day that he really ran badly. But other than that, he's a model of consistency, and he seems to have taken really well to fences. He's only had 2 starts, but he seems to have jumped quite proficiently when he won in Killarney first time out. He beat Tona Duderis, who, you know, has lowered the colours of some good horses this season. So he's obviously potentially well handicapped himself here for 135. Now, Gillian Callaghan did the classic manoeuvre of a Irish trainer when they fancy one in a 3 mile handicap chase by running it over 2 miles next time out, clearly looking just to get this horse handicapped and not give it too hard of a race on its main target. And I read the comments in the paper today, and this has always been the plan for putting Mad Brian. Interestingly, he's won a hurdle race around this track as well, so it's probably been a plan hatched from a long, long way in advance. And he's 8-1 now, even though Tom's had his say, so he still represents value. I'd have to have a few quid on him. And the other one I quite like is Gooniella as well. This horse has always been very talked up in his races, and you could see why as well. He's got some great form. I mean, when he went to Punchestown last year, he showed infinite amount of stamina to beat Vesper Bell, because I thought Vesper Bell was going to outrun him in the latter stages, and that race was chock full of proper, you know, national hunt types and proper Grand National type horses. And the fact that he managed to win that with very limited experience suggests to me that he is potentially a winner of a race like this. He would have needed his run first time at Galway over a trip probably a little bit too short for him, but that race I think is quite a decent one on the figures. And with that run under his belt, I can see Jim Draper's 6-year-old going quite well here. Pass the Hat's the other one I'd certainly respect, and Tom Segal hasn't missed him either. Arthur Moore does indeed do things that are very much tradition with him, and he runs horses over hurdles and over shorter trips if he fancies one. In a sort of staying category, he never normally misses. And this horse ran over hurdles at Nace the other day, over 2.5 miles, and he was staying on very well, so he's interesting. So all in all, a thoroughly competitive handicap, 8-1 the field. I think Mad Brian and Gooniella would be the two I'd play against the field.
Okay then, Mad Brian and Gooniella there in the Tri-Town. The 2.55 is the penultimate race on the card. It's a handicap hurdle, a Grade C contest, over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. The action doesn't get any less competitive here, Andy. Another very competitive race. What do you fancy here?
Oh, my nap on the day runs in this. I was on William Hill Radio on Friday night and said, I've already looked at the card. I'm doing Navin as a podcast and I know exactly what my nap's going to be, and I'm not changing my mind. In fact, I'm even more vindicated, if you like. I really fancy Jenny's Jewel today, massively. She's 8-1 with William Hill this morning. I think this is a fantastic each-way bet. I can't see her not being involved in the finish. She was really unlucky last time out. She should have won. She got messed around with two out. There was a bit of a bunch as they went to two out, and she got caught in a pocket. And it was only really once she saw a little bit of daylight, having jumped the last, that she absolutely flew home. Literally in one more stride, she would have won. She would have beaten a horse called Court and Catcher, went into that race in really good form. The race has run at a reasonably sound tempo, but I think she actually wants further than what she's been running over. She's all about stamina, this mare. I actually think this 2 mile 7 triple play right into her strengths. You know, this horse was fourth in a Grade 1 at Punchestown last year behind the likes of Ballycase, Inishon and the Morning Assembly. You know, Grade 1 form into handicaps. She's fairly useful, this mare. And there's only really been Caelith Annam from the mares who've lowered her colours so far this season. She's obviously an improver from the Jessica Harrington stable. Because everything's right for her today. She could do probably a little bit softer ground, but other than that, She's game, she's durable, she's reliable, she's always there or thereabouts, and I'll be absolutely amazed if she doesn't finish there, you know, in the first four.
Okay then, Jenny's Jewel, a very confident selection there in the 2.55. The final race that we'll look at is the 3.25. It is a listed flat race over 2 miles. Market headed by She's a Foxy Lady for the Mullins team, that usually pays to follow them in these kind of races, and she hasn't done much wrong to date. Was handed the race last time out. I must admit that my pocket benefited from the steward's decision there. She's very diminutive though, Andy. Will she be able to carry this weight?
That's a slight question mark, I suppose. I certainly thought that there shouldn't be that much between them in the market this morning. I mean, there was only a coat of paint between She's a Foxy Lady and Elsie at Punchestown last time out, but such is the dominance of Willie Mullins and the respect that the bookmakers afford their stable runners in bumpers, that there's an absolute chasm between them here. 2-1 She's a Foxy Lady plays 7-1 Elsie, and I do think that's an insult to Thomas Mullins's mare, who, you know, is a classy mare in her own right. I certainly won't put anyone off backing her each way, Elsie. I'm amazed actually that Elsie's the same price than Toe the Line, because I certainly thought Toe the Line had every chance of the day down in Punchestown, and she was beaten fair and square. So if there was a match bet between Elsie and Toe the Line, fictitiously, I'd certainly go with Thomas Mullins' six-year-old again. I think the one that's going to cause those three the most problems is Princess Leia, a horse that I punted and tipped last time out on the podcast. And although I thought she'd win, I didn't think she'd win in the manner that she did. 18 lengths, no less, and there was no fluke about that. She travelled really strongly in hands of Derek Lavery, who rides her again today. And she quickened on the manner as she went past the three gate and absolutely blew clear. And to be honest, she could have won by further, actually, if she would have been pushed all the way out to the line. I thought she should have gone a lot closer to winning on her debut, actually, when she was taken round the inside by Paddy Mullins on the swamp. It was the day that all the runners came up the standside rail, and Mr. 51 was the chief beneficiary. And that's the reason why I tipped Princess Leia in the first place. But this ground should be ideal for her. She's got plenty of boots. She's got good cruising speed. And I think the market's got her about right. She's very put in a very, very conservative 5-2, but I think we should take that price, as I think she's still on the upgrade.
Okay, great stuff, Andy. Princess Leia, the pit there in the closer. Best of luck with all those selections, Andy. Enjoy the action. It should be an absolutely great day's action today. Hopefully we can have a few winners, and we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Yep, cheers, Alex. Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.